May I Glenn, suggest to the caller that in 1999, I want to see in St. Michael West that the Barbados Labour Party, that the Barbados Labour Party had never won, beating a Mr. Branford Tate, who had never been beaten before in his political life in Barbados.
Listen,
young man, how many of those entering into the Parliament of Barbados have won on their own? We have a Prime Minister today who is said to be very popular. Has she ever won a seat on her own? She has always won on her own. Always been a member of a party, and she has lost an election while being a member of a party.
Isn't there room for intellect and ability in politics? There's always have to be personality.
Not really, Glenn. Basically, popularity first. Let me show an example to you. You had a guy like Leroy Sisnett, the late Leroy Sisnett, who actually was on radio, right? And at that time, he was regarded as Sweet Boy Leroy. He went to the polls, and he was very popular to the people.
Because of radio.
Exactly. You see, you gotta be able to come to the people and get that support that you need, right? I could understand all what Grenville, Raquel, and Mr. Ali is saying, but Barbados don't want that third party thing.
Popularity by radio is different from personality as an individual. What the individual has to offer. Agreed?
Good. Okay, look at Richie Haynes.
Wrap it up, Carl. You have to go to the next call, please.
Okay.
Wrap it up, please.
Okay. Let me quickly say that Ms. DePisa, she's the president of the DLP right now. And she doesn't have a great popularity around the people. And maybe people look at the DLP as a going down.
How long has she been president of the DLP?
She was around the DLP for a while, a long time.
No. How long has she been leader and president of the DLP? I'm talking about being around.
I was saying
leadership
for 2 years now.
Being a member.
Two years and change.
Less than two.
About 2 years, yeah, because after Frandell left, she took less than two years. Okay, but at the same time,
it's
fighting to get the people to be behind her. Anyhow, right. I don't want to keep by the program. You go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling, sir. Raph, that's coming, please.
Morning, I'm on the air.
Yeah, good morning. You are.
Thank you, Glenn. Wow, I'm really enjoying the program so far. Kudos, enough respect to 92.9 Brass Stats for bringing it, as you so often do. I don't always necessarily agree with the positions from the moderators and so on, but nonetheless, you bring it, and that's what matters most. Right?
Thank you.
I just want to say, just listening to your last caller, I mean, he was where my wow came from. He's reflecting a certain thought, a certain perception. And the thing about perceptions is that you can maintain them, or foolishly you can abandon them, or wisely you can abandon them, depending on what is informing your perception. I would just like to say to that caller that he needs to abandon that perception, because it's not going to hinder anything in terms of the bigger picture of Barbados' development, but it will certainly hinder and hamper his own and those who might be inclined to say, yeah, boy, he's making a lot of sense. But I like the fact that you said to him, you queried him, does intellect and principle, I'm not sure if you use the word principle, but this intellect, does that carry any weight with people in Barbados? Today, I put it to you, it certainly does. As I'm sure it always has, but don't get me wrong, all the more now more than ever, intellect and principle will inform the voting decisions of Barbadians. Because I think, indeed, the last caller exposed what a lot of us have done in the past, being influenced by charisma and personality only. Don't get me wrong, personality and charisma have a part to play. Always they do. But deeper matters of principle, in terms of integrity, in terms of availability of opportunity to all Barbadians. These are the things that matter. And I, by my perception, unlike the former callers, Mr. Attlee's position, as he has said, was on a matter of principle, because the tradition of democracy is that we have an opposition. So it wasn't just a strategic move, but it was also a very courageous move, because since then, the PDP has had to endure the derision from all quarters of being called a third party when, indeed, as Mr. Attlee articulated, there are an emerging party. And every emerging party comes from somewhere. Even as you were doing your discourse earlier, and Mr. Bruce, in terms of political history, I would have loved to have heard where some of these people from these different parties of old wound up going, where they turned to, where they went to. Certainly, there may be some that left the political landscape, but I'm sure some of them, because of their influence, whether as pressure groups or emerging political parties, found acceptance within the two established parties. But their value was still for the advancement of the interests of the people, in as much as they were able to, when they entered the mainstream, so to speak, pursue and remain faithful to what they articulated. Long story short, where we are now, we need innovation, imagination, and creativity. And the one thing that hasn't been spoken about is the intellect of the Barbadian public. But I'm believing, and we have to believe, in the intellect of the Barbadian public that I engage with and interact with every day, that will say to me, my autumn is the same. My autumn is the same. So therefore, why not make room for change? If it's about perceptions, even as you were quoting Bismarck, Blood mentioned his thought in terms of what is possible. Politics is what is possible. You know what is possible changes all the time. It was not possible for anybody to run under 10 seconds. But here it's been today. It was not possible to fly. So, you know, Bismarck is dead, but possibilities live on. And I conclude.
Thank you very much for that interesting call. We take a break for Brass Tacks. Sunday brought to you with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Williams Metals. Choose us for your building needs at Williams Metals. We got what you need. We are the leaders in building materials. We offer lumber, cement, concrete, copper, aluminum, and all type of metals. For construction, get galvanized sheets. Welding and plumbing products for sure. You can find that and so much more. Friendly staff to help with your search at King Garden, St. Thomas, and Lowlands Christ Church. Williams Metals. We got what you need.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday. Compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. As we seek to advance the discussion on third stroke emerging alternative parties in Barbados, I'd like to go back to our representative of the parties and ask the question, and also apply the same question to ask for the intervention also of Davron Bruce, the political scientist. At the bottom of all that we are hearing, it seems to reflect the fact that for various reasons, these parties have emerged over there do not last long, for various reasons. And to me, they do not last because they do not make appreciable showings in elections and do not sustain the journey. It seems to me that part of the reason for that is that the question of memberships. I'm calling therefore asking on the party to see whether the fact that have they paid particular attention to recruiting memberships, to form branches, so you call it consolidate your support in a particular area, you know who is supporting you, who's likely to support you, rather than just have a general appreciation of following, but that is not segmented into the constituency, because in the final analysis, getting out on the vote on election day is what elections. And if you don't have that membership to identify and recruit and get to the polls, it helps to weaken your chances. So would you say then that part of the problem, for whatever reasons, whether it's the question of not having the resources, the money, the funds to rent a an office, to spend developing personal goals and recruit people, campaign on the ground field day by day, as the established parties have because of their age and the history and their accumulated resources. Would you say that that has been, how much has that played in preventing you from moving, advancing your very noble causes, your very noble objectives, to translate them into political, catchable ideas and phrases and campaigning for the Barbadian public? And I'd go this time to Granville. Would you like to react to that first?
Yes. All right. We had decided that we did not want to divide Barbados between elections. And I understand politically that may not make much sense, but it is when we go forward divided that we don't achieve the best for Barbados. A united Barbados can do amazing things. Even God said, these people, if they are united, there's nothing that they cannot achieve that they put their mind to. Once we are united, we can do marvelous things. But between elections, we spend our time divided, politically divided. And therefore, about half the country gets used, and the other half does not. There's, as Devron explained beautifully, and even Raquel.
How do you define divided? What do you mean by divided?
Divided, always bringing up that they're B's and D's, or there's one side and then there's us. Therefore, dividing Barbadians. And we did not want to divide Barbadians again into three.
But isn't that a reflection of the reality of democracy, where we have alternatives and choices, at least a two-party, if not a multi-party system?
Yes.
When you divide it up to election, on election day, you have to make a choice. You have to divide your interests and your support and cast it between for one person or the other.
That's correct. That's why during the period of elections, that's why we recommended let the period of elections be known. Let's say a year out. And therefore, you have maybe a year or 6 months where you're divided. The country is divided now politically, and you're doing what you can, getting your members and getting the vote out. But between that time, allow Barbadians to be united. And let's go forward united and really prosper. But we don't. The way that the system is right now is that we are divided between elections, badly divided. And we decided that we did not want to do that to Barbados, to divide us even further. That's why also we did not take any contributions. In the last election, we did not want any contributions, none whatsoever, because I hate corruption with a passion. I hate it.
And therefore, it is contribution. Do you automatically equate a contribution to corruption?
When you expect something in return. And that's basically what it is. You're given, as it was explained by Raquel very clearly, a change of use, or give me this contract. And these no-bid contracts are probably the reason why we are in all this unsustainable debt, because you have to give persons contracts, and therefore they feel emboldened to charge 2 to 5 times what the contract is worth. And then some of that money then goes back to fund the political campaign. It's all sorts of corruption, but it impacts us because we have to then have our taxes raised to pay back 2 to 5 times.
Granville, if I may go back to the question. Question of division. Before you go any further. You talk about having a known date for when the election will be.
Yes.
It happened in the United States. They have a known date. But yes. That has not prevented the so-called division. And isn't the Barbados has proven itself since 1951, when we had universal debt suffrage with the right to vote for every Barbadian at a particular age, 21 or now then 18. We showed that we were politically mature enough to have division at the same time, not have civil eruption because of that division. We are a mature democracy. We are a mature society. We have respect for that. So don't you think that question, that your definition of division really does not play into the reality of life and the practicality of political life in Barbados?
Not at all. The US system is different because they have, in my opinion, the most inferior kind of voting system of any true democracy, because theirs is not run by a central body like ours. theirs is run by each state, and therefore there's division among states. Some are red and some are blue, as I explained. They are divided that way, but because they are 300 and something million people, they have the economy to sustain it. We don't. We are a small country. We print our own money, but our money is not recognized internationally. So therefore, we cannot loan people things in funds in our own money. So it's a different system. You are comparing apples and but not even potatoes, apples and pigs.
Thank you, then. Raquel, would you like to react to that?
Well, I agree that you need to garner support. And my party have been working. We have been working to...
Do you have branches?
Yes, we've been working to have constituency support at the constituency level and build branches.
Yeah, but there's a difference between constituency support and constituency branch. You have constituency branches.
As I said, we are emerging. So I can't say, oh, we have 15 constituency branches. Although I would say that with my experience with, say, the Barbados Labour Party, our constituency branches were just about as good as the ones in the Barbados Labour Party. That is
meaning what? Explain that.
Meaning that they hardly work, but they're there. And
but yes, at least if you have a branch, from my experience, you have a membership, you have addresses, you have names. So it's formalized in that kind of way. Did you have that kind of system with you?
Obviously, we didn't have that kind of statistic when we started, but our growth trajectory has been to build at constituency level. So we are engaged in that process right now of building constituency branches. I don't know necessarily that I can agree that constituency branches will lead to the further division of Barbados or anything like that. Of course, you need to consolidate your support if you're going to mobilize it. So we're working on fixing our party internally and building out branches, building out members, growing, as you said, when you have a constituency branch, they will know persons in the constituency. I know exactly what you need a constituency branch for mobilization and for getting out the vote. And so, we are working on building at a constituency level.
Thank you. Bishop, after your turn to respond to that general framework that I outlined.
Thank you, Glenn. We begin with the emphasis on people. People's Party for Democracy and Development is about people. We have emphasized that in our discussions over and over again. We want to attract quality people to make up our team of persons who will offer themselves as candidates, team of people who would be supportive as a part of that broadened core group to help us with our discussion. We have underscored very often the matter of having a ground game, developing branches, connecting with the people on the ground. For me to sit here and tell you that I am happy with the success of that effort thus far would not be fully true.
How many branches would you say you have now?
Well, I think more in terms of the candidates we have and the efforts that they make on the ground. We have not formalized the process of branch activity. We have not. That's what I'm saying. For me to tell you that I'm fully happy with the success today in terms of constructing an architecture on the ground called branches or branch development, I'm not happy with that.
Would you say that is an internal weakness within the party and its operation? That is something you should have done?
It's not one of the things about which we have shown greater strength. I have emphasized that because I know the importance of that. We have a lot of people who are new to the political process, the political practice, and the culture, and are not as familiar with the importance of that. We came to office came to this position in a certain type of a context where we had large numbers on the other side. We understood that we had to mount a platform that could be constructive in terms of its critique of government and make sure that the interests of Barbadians are always brought fully to the fore. We've concentrated heavily on trying to make sure that that got done. But we have been building out, naming candidates. There were 17 or 18 people up until the St. George North by-election who had expressed a clear interest. emphasize to them all the time is not just meeting with the media, not just going on a public platform, but in fact, building out the ground game, because it has to be centered around people. Policy formulation starts with your relationship and connectivity with the people. You need to have a ground game in support of you if you're going to have voter numbers to have you elected to the Parliament of Barbados. But I do agree with what Raquel intimated, and I'm not being critical, it's just an observation. Over time, none of the two major political parties over all of these years can really boast of, in my view, having done a totally successful job building branches. A branch life is weak. My experience in the Barbados Labour Party in several branches, some non-existent.
What about your own branch, St. Michael West?
Oh, well, St.
Michael, as a BLP.
I never saw St. Michael West as one of the stronger branches in the BLP, but I'll tell you something about it. Despite the fact that for a quarter of a century, they didn't win a seat down there against the government, against the Democratic Labour Party, yet that branch lived on. It lived on through my tenure entirely with the Barbados Labour Party, and it still lives. Much of the mechanism, of course, today may be supportive of the BLP selected representative down there in my stead, but that branch still lives. So St. Michael West has always had a branch, not flourishing and conjuring up all the excitement that you can imagine for you, but a branch that has been steadfast in support of its candidate. That is the type of branch we want to see created in the
BDP. But wouldn't that give you all the more reason, having had that experience of success at that level, to try to transpose that into the operations?
And that is what I've been saying to you. And people who are in PDP can tell you, I always emphasize that. We have to do connectivity on the ground. We have to try to build branches in every local community, constituency, but we have to be able to tap into voter interest in select groups in every community that help to constitute that branch. That is the way we have been approaching this. People join a branch in the traditional parties, become a member of a branch, but that's it. You attend meetings, you hear speeches, and that's it. Time comes, you vote, maybe you help to bring out your vote, and that's it. But we want to be able to develop the dynamics of governance at the community level using a branch system and going beyond that. We want to be able to identify opportunities for business development at the branch level. These are the kind of things that we have been talking about in relation to PDP branches. So it's not just a voter mechanism or a show mechanism of 10 or 20 people who could turn up at an annual conference. Our mantra in relation...
Fine, Mr. Athlete.
We have to bring heart and head and hand to the people. That's our mantra.
Okay. I appreciate your very... ample exposition on branches. It seeks to organize people at the constituency level to get their support and maintain their support. But it can be said now that how about maintaining that same interest and commitment and involvement at the party level? The UDP has lost at least one well-known, high-profile person since its internal by-election. The DLP has lost a couple, and it seems as though there has to be a room then for a necessity to be able to maintain and retain the interests and involvement of your candidates in order to go forward to build branches, to win seats, to help
shape policy. That is absolutely important, Glenn. You have to maintain the membership, especially in relation to your candidates, with reference to your party. PDP has lost one that will be publicly announced. But I have to tell you that since losing that one, we have had four very quality people come to the party. And you may hear announced one person has left the PDP and gone to the Democratic Labour Party. We have had a couple of people who have come to the PDP from the Democratic Labour Party prior to that. We have people, as you know, from Solutions. We have people from UPP. We have people in our core group who formerly have been related to the Barbados Labour Party. We don't jump and make a hullabaloo about that. This is part of the dynamics of the political culture in places like Barbados. People move for various reasons. I don't jump hastily to judge people's motivation for moving. That is one of the things I've been critical of the political scientists in their opining on the chance what they call third parties, emerging parties, are sometimes coming to the place where they seem to want to express with certainty what were people's motives for moving. Now, I don't get into that. One fellow that we had left recently, Mr. Gibson, the PDP, had a quite polite, decent conversation with me. He said, look, I think that third parties in Barbados are being seriously challenged. I really would like to go and help to build a constructive opposition. And I think I can contribute to that effort in the DLP. I wish him well. That's his choice. You will get that in politics. People have moved from the two main parties from one to the other. Errol Barrow was not always where he ended up. Mia Motley has not always been where she is today. People move, and they could call all kinds of names. I'm not trying to pick on people. I'm saying this is part of life. You accept it, you deal with it, and you make sure that you don't have such a movement that is going to break the back of your party, and the PT certainly doesn't.
Thank you, Bishop Athey. You know, Devron, can we have your say and your evaluation, your analysis of what has been said before, the membership, the building membership. Yeah.